don't know how you're feeling about these times we live in, but as I think about them, it seems to me that one of the real constants is change. Our society, institutions, communities, I feel like most parts of life are in flux. The ways of the past are not working, they're not continuing, things are changing, but it's not exactly clear where we are heading. This is true in the church as well. After more than 2 years of pandemic, things are different than they were. Our life as a community continues to be limited. Only a fraction of the community attends in person. Many still gather and watch the live stream. And that kind of unstructured time for informal interaction and conversation is rare in these days. There's no doubt about it that change can be difficult. We may need things to be different. We may need to embrace new ways of being, but somehow the old and the familiar can have a hold on us. We can want to cling to the way things were. The familiar can feel safer, more certain than entering into a new reality. Sometimes we might even choose situations that are not affirming of us or not healthy for us, because it can be hard to move out of a present, even one that's not desirable, into an unknown future. Times of flux like these can cause anxiety. While we can live with uncertainty for a short time, ultimately we long for structure and stability, for some sense of what to expect. Living in a time of extended change is just unpleasant. And yet, I think, and I said this before, I think the rupture in the status quo provides us opportunity. When we are settled into a way of being, into a routine, we can also become complacent. We can become closed to the new things that God is doing in our lives, in our world. Changeable times like these can be a time of opportunity, a kind of liminal time. A period when we become unsettled enough to be open in new ways, to see with fresh eyes what God is doing. We might be able to hear God's call to us afresh. And if, in the uncertainty, in the change, we ask God to lead us, then I trust that God will bring us into that place of new being, that place we can scarcely imagine or hope for. That God will lead us into a life that is rich and abundant, the very life that God desires for us. I see some of this at work in our gospel today, where Luke tells the dramatic story of transformation, of healing, of liberation. And we see those who witness it are afraid of it. They struggle to embrace the new reality. The account of the Gerasene's demoniac is dramatic, to say the least. It's an account of a man who's possessed by not one, but many demons. They call themselves legion, there are so many. The man lives naked among the tombs with the pigs. And he's kept under guard, and sometimes is bound with chains, and he is able somehow to cast off those chains and to flee to the wilderness. And so Jesus comes and he commands the demons possessing this man to leave the man and to enter a herd of swine. And so they do that. And then the swine rush down the steep bank and are drowned in the lake. Now, it doesn't surprise me, the swineherds don't like that. That's their livelihood. And so they are unable to celebrate the man who's been restored to health and to wholeness. And as they tell others, this news spreads and people come to see what happened. And instead of celebrating, they too are seized with fear. And so they ask Jesus to leave. Get out of here. Those witnessing this healing are unable to give thanks for the man who now is clothed, who's restored to wholeness, sitting with Jesus. And so they want Jesus to get out of there as soon as possible. They cannot see the great thing that God has done in Jesus healing this man. The power that God has had to cast out those demons that oppressed the man. They miss how this healing brings him wholeness in body, mind, and spirit. They're unable to witness God's salvific act in this man's life. And instead, they're afraid. And they just hope Jesus will leave them just as they were and get out of town. The healed man, whose life has been so dramatically changed, asks if he can follow Jesus. And this is one of those very rare times that Jesus tells the man no. He says, "Return home and declare how much God has done for you." And so the man is sent off to proclaim the good news of God and becomes the first missionary, the one who is sent out to proclaim the action of God that he experienced in his life firsthand. And he is charged by Jesus to go and to tell everyone how he was transformed. Now, this gospel, this story, has elements that might be perplexing to us in the 21st century. And probably among those more perplexing elements is Jesus sending the demons into the herd of swine. That's just a foreign idea to us. But Ched Myers, a community organizer and biblical scholar, offers insights I find helpful in interpreting this passage. And he observes that this miracle happens in the Decapolis, which is the center of Roman power on the eastern edge of the Roman Empire. In this region, many army veterans live there on lands that have been seized through occupation. And they are given land as payment for their military service. This man who has the demons is a refugee from Rome. He is alienated from that society. And he's profoundly unclean according to Jewish law. He lives naked. He lives among the dead. And he lives with the pigs, unclean animals. The demons possessing him are named Legion, which is also a Latin term for a division of Roman soldiers. And the Roman soldiers in that region have as their mascot the boar or the pig. And so Ched Myers makes the point that this man is alienated by the Roman occupation of the region. This occupation has destroyed his heart, his mind, his body. And Jesus comes and liberates him from everything that oppresses and brings him into freedom, into wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. But those who witness these events are unable to accept God's liberation. The loss of what they know, even though it is oppressive, is just too much for them to imagine. God's liberation has, they fear, costs that they can't accept. And so they refuse it. In today's epistle from the letter of Paul to the Galatians, Paul talks about our call to accept the life that God has in store for us. Accept that life even when it radically alters our lives as they are now. Paul reminds us that through baptism we are clothed with Christ. We put on Christ's identity. We live as Christ's body in the world. And it is through baptism that the boundaries of oppression are torn down. Paul asserts that in Christ all are one. And Paul goes on to say there's no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female. Those divisions that we humans use that determine who is one of us and who is an outsider or foreigner are torn down. No longer is there slave and free, one with power and one without. The divisions that separate and divide us, even those of male and female, of how we understand gender and identity, are torn down in Jesus. In him, those boundaries are cast out, all are welcome, and all are invited to life restored, to wholeness through the love of God. In baptism, all are set free to embrace the identity that God bestows. And living the life of Jesus then requires that we let go of the assumptions of the world around us, and in fact that we challenge them. But liberation, acceptance, tearing down boundaries are not always met with rejoicing. Some people fear the change that comes with this new life. They fear the dismantling of oppressive structures. And so I think our nation needs people of faith who live lives rooted in this baptismal call of Paul to embody and to proclaim that boundaries of hate and oppression must be torn down, to proclaim freedom through God's liberating love, a love that liberates all, including those who are forced to live among the tombs in chains. Today is Juneteenth, a holiday commemorating the emancipation of enslaved African Americans in this country. And certainly today is a day of great joy and of celebration, but it's also kept against the violent backdrop of resistance to justice. White supremacy retains its strength. It resists efforts to dismantle racism. Just a few weeks ago, there was yet another horrific shooting, this time in Buffalo, targeting a black neighborhood. Innocent people killed as they shopped. We in this parish continue to prioritize opposing racism and fighting white supremacy as our call from God. Yet not everyone in our world agrees with this. And there's a loud and violent backlash of people who see the liberation of God, to see that call to build a just society as a threat. And so they oppose the liberation and the restoration that Jesus offers. This weekend is also the annual Pride celebration, after it has been suspended for 2 years by the pandemic. It takes place this weekend here in Providence. But the backdrop to this year's celebration is a marked rise in violence against the LGBTQ community, a rise that's especially deadly for trans women of color. And also there's concern that over time, in the coming months and years, legal protections will come under threat and perhaps be lost. And even in the church, we don't all agree on how we are called to follow Jesus. In today's New York Times is an article about a predominantly black Roman Catholic middle school in Worcester, where the student body asked more than a year ago for the administration to fly the Black Lives Matter and the Pride flags. And so they did. And now, more than a year later, the Roman Catholic Bishop of Worcester says the flags are against Catholic teaching and must be removed, or the school will not be able to remain Roman Catholic. The Jesuit-run school is refusing. We'll see what happens. It is in this messy, unchangeable reality that we are called, like the man healed in today's gospel, to accept the liberating healing of Jesus ourselves, and then to go forth and to tell what God has done for us. And this may be a difficult charge. It requires that we challenge the accepted wisdom of our age, that we oppose boundaries of hate and exclusion, that we reject violence at every turn, that we forgive our enemies and those who harm us, and that we strive to tear down and dismantle oppressive structures and practices. Through the power of God's love, that strong love that liberates the oppressed, this world can be transformed. May we open ourselves to the new thing that God is doing in this time of change and upheaval. May we continue to be a community of love and welcome, a community that resists oppression and witnesses to the powerful love of God that sets all people free and that brings wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. And so this day, Jesus says to you and to me, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. Amen.
Amen.